It is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz. It is time for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday. We talk food. Also, we rebroadcast it on the weekends and also after our noontime news hour here during the week on Robinhood Radio. And good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. I think some people have been tracking my kitchen renovation. So I'm happy to say, very happy to say, that it is, I would say 90%. I'm trying to figure out a percentage here. I still haven't gotten the range hood. I bought one that they say will, in fact, draw a smoke from my stove. You know, the other one didn't do much of anything except provide light. And by the way, it's interesting. In the specs on this product, they emphasize what good lighting it provides. So they don't emphasize what great draw it has. Anyway, so I'm waiting for that. And of course, we need a couple little touch-ups. What I have immediately realized is that when you I painted all the lower cabinets black, and when you nick black paint, it white, so underneath, and wood. So I need to, I guess, keep handy a little touch-up paint. But no, it's and I must say, it took me longer to put it back together than it did to take it apart. But I had to empty out the cupboards. I had to take it out. Don't ask. Okay. But I put it all back together. The painter left on late Thursday afternoon. He was supposed to actually stay until Friday, but his boss sort of nudged him out. He was a very difficult man, so I was for 4 days with him in the house all day long. It was walking on eggshells. You could not point out any little flaw. I didn't. I waited until he was done, and it reminded me of work I had done, got to be 40 years ago, when I lived in Tudor City in Midtown Manhattan. And nothing, Tudor City, my building was built in 1929, and I moved in whatever, 1980, something, and 80-ish. And nothing was straight. It was an old building. And we were hanging shades. And you had to do this by eyeball, because measurements didn't count. And I kept saying to the workman, you know, that's a little crooked. He said, I'm not finished yet. And then I would walk by again and I'd say, you know, it's still a little crooked. He said, I'm not finished yet. And then he came by and I said it again, you know, it's still a little crooked. He says, I'm finished, too late. So, anyway, it's finished, but it's not finished. And Nestor ended up being my friend. I wish I had such good management skills when I was actually a manager. But I did manage him through the week, and we did not have but one fight the first day when I realized who he was. And it looks great. I've tweaked here and there, you know. So I didn't put everything back exactly the way it was. Since I'm on a non-carbohydrate diet, I put the toaster in the closet, so that created some counter space. I have a new stove. I'm not sure it's working well. My appliance manager was on holiday for Passover, and he comes back to work today. We'll see what he says. But my test of the oven, the stove top works great. And one of the it's a Thermador stove. Everybody wants to know, what did you buy? So I bought a Thermador. It's hugely expensive. I thought I deserved it, and I must say it is extremely handsome in my black cabinetry stainless steel stove. I never had a stainless steel stove. It's not as hard to keep as I thought, you know, clean as I thought it would be. Anyway, the top works great, and one of the reasons I bought a new stove were numerous. Was I wanted 5 burners on the top. Since I last bought a stove 11 years ago, they now make even basic residential, inexpensive, relatively stoves with 5 burners, if not 6, and the 30-inch stove. I only have 30 inches for a stove here. Anyway, the top works great, and my test of the oven is how I'm cooking bacon these days. I put it, each slice, laid out on a rack, and put the rack on a sheet pan, and put the pan in a cold oven, turn the oven on to 400 degrees, and let it cook for 20 minutes. My old oven, it came out perfect in 20 minutes. Okay, maybe 19, maybe 21, depended on the bacon, but, you know, about 20 minutes, and it would be crisp and brown. I opened the oven after 20, my new Thermidor, very expensive oven, after 20 minutes, and the bacon was barely limp. So obviously not cooking at 400 degrees, even for a few minutes. So it does have a light on the outside saying preheat, and when the light goes off, your oven is technically preheated. The light did go off. So yesterday I tried something else. I've mentioned before that I'm cooking endive lately, you know, not just a salad ingredient or salad unto itself, but it really is delicious cooked in the oven. I don't know. I would say you could say roasted or baked. I don't know. I guess roasted, you'd have to say, and that is of importance in my oven because there are two settings: bake and roast. So. It seems to me that if you set the oven for 400 degrees, whether it's bake or roast, the oven's going to be 400 degrees. Bake, the heat comes from beneath only, and roast, the heat comes from the top and the bottom. So today I'm going to try something else, and then I'm going to call. I looked yesterday, Sunday, Easter Sunday, limited availability of an oven thermometer, but I really want to check the temperature inside the oven, and I don't have an oven thermometer. But every oven is different, and I'm already prepared to, you know, readjust my cooking times and blah blah in the new appliance, but not that much. And the other hand, I can't grill on top because I have no range hood with lights or without lights. I need something to some kind of little exhaust over the grill top, and I am eager to try my grill burner in the middle of the stove. But and I have a beautiful old grill. I bought my grill over 20 years ago in the supermarket around the corner from me. In those days, 20 years ago, there was a significant Hispanic element in my neighborhood. There still is, but they're very American. The grandmas are gone. And the grandmas used to use these grills. It's a cast iron grill, ridged on one side, flat on the other, with these wonderful spiral handles, which were annoying for years, but I'm going to put them back on now because they're going to be handy. I saved them in a drawer. Anyway, so I can't do that. But what I can do is I'm going to try my chicken. My go-to chicken thighs in the oven and see how that goes. And before I start screaming that the oven's not working correctly. So my go-to, you know, if I'm really lazy. Oh, by the way, chicken thighs. Mm. Are you using the old terminology, are you a top or a bottom man?
I like chicken. It's funny. I like chicken thighs to eat when you're making something that's warm and stuff like that. I like the white meat when I want to make chicken salad. I don't know why, but
I understand that one totally. Yeah, I can see it. You know, in fact, I don't do this hardly ever anymore, but buy a rotisserie chicken. And the breast is invariably overcooked.
Yeah.
So we eat the thigh drumsticks, and I actually nibble on the back as well. And I save the breasts for chicken salad the next day.
Yeah.
So one chicken goes, you know, for two meals for two people. It's pretty good. However, the other day, you know, without a kitchen, we were ordering in. From our local Chinese, a lot, from our local Thai, a lot, from our local pizzeria, which makes pretty good meatballs, not the greatest, but, you know, you're sitting at home watching TV, you can eat their meatballs, and some other things. And that's it. And then the other day, I broke down and said, all right, let's buy a, and I haven't done this in a long time, let's buy a rotisserie chicken. And it was horrible. I mean, I ate the my leg and thigh because there was nothing else to eat. But we tossed the breast. It was even with a lot of mayonnaise, Marshall, you wouldn't have eaten the breast.
That's, yeah.
So. So anyway, I've given up on chicken breast, except on rare occasion. There's sometimes I want a chicken breast, but mostly. And then when I roast the whole chicken myself, I have to say the chicken breasts are succulent. But I mainly do thighs. And so I bought some thighs yesterday to cook today. And I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do, but my go-to is just salt and pepper. But here's a little technique thing. First of all, I've cooked chicken on a rack, off a rack, on a rack, off a rack. I'm back to on the rack. So I put the rack in the sheet pan. You might want to line your sheet pan with foil so it's easier cleanup, but that's the only reason to do it. First of all, I like to let the chicken just aerate, sit on the rack for a while and get a little dry on the skin. And then salt and pepper it well on both sides. And now, if you really want to do it well and you have the patience, take your index finger and loosen the skin without taking it off, if you can do that, and sprinkle a little salt and pepper under the skin. Because otherwise, you're seasoning the bottom of the chicken and you're seasoning the skin of the chicken, but the meaty portion of the chicken doesn't really get any seasoning. So if you have the patience, do that. Salt and pepper, and my go-to is 450 degrees for 40 to 45 minutes. I left off an essential step. I brush every thigh, only on the skin side, once it's in place on my rack, with olive oil. I pour a little olive oil in a little dish, and I brush it on, just to help the browning of the chicken. If you don't have, I happen to use extra virgin olive oil for practically everything, but certainly any oil will do in this case. And that's it. 40 minutes to 45 minutes. Now, today, if my chicken is not, I'm going to do it on roast. I've decided that the roast setting is probably the effective setting for me. So I'm going to do that on roast. I don't know. Most ovens, you just turn them on or off. I, by the way, bought the simplest possible Thermidor, and it's not so simple.
No, nothing is nowadays.
It took us 2 days. I'm not joking. This is not exaggerating. Maybe it even was 3 days to figure out how to use the Thermidor dishwasher, which is also part of my package here. I've gone a stainless steel, and I would have replaced my refrigerators with stainless steel fronted whatever I got until I discovered that nobody makes, and I mean I have done heavy research here and called people, as well as done online research and called people, that nobody makes an under-the-counter refrigerator as well designed for residential use as the two that I have, which are made by a company called Uline. The letter U line, and they mainly make commercial refrigeration, not residential. And so these were designed with two shelves on the doors and a small freezer. So I actually have a lot of freezer space, given that I only have two small freezers, but there's two. And I don't freeze very much. Right now there's a chicken in there. And this is pre-renovation chicken, and a rack of ribs, which I'm eager to make, and they go in a very low oven to start. So even if the oven's not coming up to snuff here, it's possible. I hope this is not the case, but it's possible it's not getting enough gas. stove.
That's true. I'm glad to hear that. You know, I used to have an electric oven, and it's so gas is so much better.
Oh, I can't cook. I mean, I did cook when I was forced to in my youth on an electric stove. I mean, my real youth, my mid-20s, on my own. But, no, gas is... Yeah. And also, I must say, the top part of this stove has a lot of gradations of heat. Last night I made asparagus and scrambled eggs. And I always start on high heat and then reduce to very low. And the burner I was on, there are five now, and they're all different. So I have to figure all that out. But the burner that I was playing with last night went so, it really was so low. Even though it didn't look low, it really was very low, and it goes very high. So I'm happy about that. But so it's getting enough gas for the top. But we'll see. I'm not, as you could hear in my voice, I'm not stressed about this because it's a brand new stove. It's under warranty. I have extended warranty, and I have a very reliable dealer. So I'm not concerned. Anyway, so chicken, but back to chicken. So that's my go-to, salt and pepper. However, taking a cue from my grandmother and a lot of old Jewish women of my day, and now I have to say my nephew, this is his go-to for chicken in the oven like this, thighs, a rub of paprika and crushed garlic.
I see if my grandmother used to do that. Yeah, that's what I use. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's an amazing combination. And nowadays, there are so many different paprika. You can even alter the flavor of your chicken depending on the paprika you use. Or paprika. How do you say it?
I say paprika, but that's because my grandmother was Hungarian. That's what.
No, I say paprika too, but I've been corrected so many times I've gotten into the other thing. It's like endive and endive. You know, I'm now saying endive because endive sounds so pretentious. But anyway, so I guess paprika does too. Paprika. And you could buy smoked paprika. See, there I fall into it. You could buy just plain supermarket paprika, which I always said about the same thing with pre-ground white pepper. And if you want your food to taste Jewish, you have to store it next to the stove for at least a year before you use it. Now, I've learned over the many years that paprika, in fact, spoils quite easily. It's one of those ground spices that 6 months is optimum here. Beyond 6 months, make paprika chicken every night until you use it up. Yeah. And then another one I did the other night, pre-renovation, was I saw, what's her name? Rage Rummond, who calls herself the Pioneer Woman.
Yep.
Or something like that. Yeah. I like her. And, she coated her chicken with Thai chili paste that you buy in the supermarket. And there's red and there's green, and I guess there's spicy, but mine was not really hot at all. I mean, Bob Harnett, who doesn't like spicy food, ate it happily. So she added some oil to make it more spreadable, because it's not really spreadable right out of the little... And by the way, one little... comes in little jars. I forget how many ounces it is, but all the brands are the same. I think it's like maybe a 4 ounce jar is enough for at least a couple chickens. So, or you know, eight thighs and I don't know, 10 thighs. Yeah. So you thin it out a little bit with vegetable oil. And a friend of mine, who is in fact Thai, says she uses this chili paste, but she freshens it up with grated ginger and garlic. You can do that if you want to fuss. Otherwise, like me, use it straight out of the jar with just a little oil and brush it all over your chicken and stick that in the oven. Same, I would say, in this case, because the chili paste has a little sugar in it, It browns very readily. Check out your chicken after 35 minutes at 4. You know, you might even lower the temperature to 425 instead of 450. And then the same 40 minutes. It'll be cooked through, not to worry. The other thing is, I am eager to make, and this would be a treat on my no-carb diet, but my Aunt Pauline used to make, my Aunt Pauline in Baltimore. I went to the University of Maryland, so Baltimore was nearby enough that I ate a lot. It was my great Aunt Pauline, my grandmother's younger sister. And she was a wonderful cook. I learned a lot of things from Aunt Pauline, including, by the way, I still make frequently her chicken salad, which had hard-boiled egg in it. So anyway, Aunt Pauline used to make divine oven-fried chicken. We're talking about the 1960s. So it was a very popular thing to make in the 1950s. And my Aunt Pauline's oven-fried chicken was made with cracker crumbs. And I just this morning, just in passing and totally coincidentally, I think it was featured on the New York Times cooking newsletter thing you get nearly every day, written by Sam Sifton. He referenced the oven-fried chicken that Marion Burroughs, my old friend Marion Burroughs, had in the New York Times in 1985. So how long ago is that? 35 years ago. Anyway, 35 years ago, if you read Marion, it was a novelty in 1985. It was already a retro recipe in 1985. And I read some commentary on this Marion Burroughs recipe, and people were saying, well, I made it with panko. So I'm not a panko guy, but I might actually have to try some panko crumbs to make this. And it has an inordinate amount of butter, which is why it became, or in my aunt's case, no, my aunt did not use butter because she was kosher. So I'm not sure I don't think she would have poured oil over it, but she might have. You know what? I have my great Aunt Pauline's recipe somewhere. I should go look that up. And years later, the identical recipe was published by the Sterns, by Michael Stern and, what's Michael's wife's name? I can't remember them. Anyway, they were early promoters of diner kind of road food. I think, in fact, one of their books is called Road Food. These books are totally out of date, but historic documents as far as I'm concerned. I wish I could remember her name. Anyway, they wrote a book of retro recipes back in the 80s, and there it was, this oven-fried chicken. So that's another chicken thigh recipe. I'm dwelling too long, I think.
No, because you're right. I used to only eat fried chicken, the breast. The thighs, fried chicken thighs are so much better.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
And if you go to a good, you know, I'm down on KFC. Oh, here's a little bit of trivia for everybody. Kentucky Fried Chicken was founded by the grandfather of Pamela Brown, the CNN anchor. She's a very pretty woman. She's on, I don't know when she's on. I think in the afternoons. Pamela Brown, she's an accomplished journalist. It's not like she's, just there for her looks. But her... So Pamela Brown, the CNN anchor, is the Kentucky Fried Chicken heiress. Her father was the governor of Kentucky. I forget his first name, Brown. And her mother was Phyllis George, who was Miss America.
Yeah.
But in fact, if you look at some of the bios of Phyllis George, they don't even mention that she was Miss America, because she was such an accomplished and important Kentucky businesswoman that that's what gets mentioned in her obituaries. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and she was also...
And I always think Phyllis George, Miss America. But, of course, I don't live in Kentucky.
She was also the first woman correspondent on sports for
right.
CBS. Yep, absolutely.
Yes, and that is mentioned. So her mother, Phyllis, was extremely accomplished, as I imagine the daughter is, too, to be a CNN host. But anyway, I thought, in passing, I don't know how I even got... Oh, fried chicken. So she's the fried chicken heiress. Anyway, I don't make fried chicken. I buy fried chicken. And there's so many good places to buy fried chicken. It's like people say, how come you don't cook Chinese? I say, well, you know, I can buy good Chinese. Yeah. So I never really learned how to make but a few Chinese dishes that are really homey and things that you don't even get in a Chinese restaurant. Oh, although one of my dishes is now made in one of my local Chinese restaurants. I just discovered this because we were ordering in so much, which is scrambled eggs with shrimp. I first ate this in Flushing. Of course, that's the epicenter of Chinese food in New York. It's enormous, enormous Chinese community, and other Asians as well. There are some very, very upscale Korean restaurants in Flushing. And when restaurants are a little more open, I think I may actually do that. I've been wanting to do that. So go to a Korean, an upscale Korean restaurant in Flushing. But anyway, this is in a very simple place, not at all on the strip of the commercial strip of Flushing, but on a residential street. They make divine scrambled eggs and shrimp. So I have learned, I've taught myself how to make not so divine, but good enough scrambled eggs and shrimp. And now my neighborhood restaurant has it, but it's, you know, if I ate it in the restaurant, it would probably be a lot better than delivered home. I have to give them that. So I probably, when the time comes, will go in there and try it in place. It's a $6.50 luncheon with soup and rice. And I don't even eat the rice. I miss rice. It's interesting. I'm missing rice more than I'm missing pasta. I don't know what that says about me, cause as a person who used to say I couldn't live a day without pasta.
It means you need a trip to Italy.
Well, that's not happening real
soon.
I know.
I know, but that's what
and
it means.
And my kitchen used to be Little Italy. You know what? I still make some dishes, including chicken, by the way, with a sauce that normally would go on pasta. And I've learned to live without the bread for mopping it up or the pasta or the rice for putting it on. And one of those is chicken thighs a la matriciana. I miss the sauce, a matriciana, which is a tomato sauce with pancetta or guanciale, either one. I like pancetta, actually, but guanciale is the original. And a little onion and a little hot pepper. So I make a chicken sauté on top of the stove, brown the chicken, in a little, or only a tiny bit of oil because the chicken itself gives off a lot of fat. Pour off most, but not all the fat. Just leave the skimming on the bottom. Add your pancetta. Let it render a little bit. And then add the onion and cook that until it's tender. Throw in a can of tomatoes. Mash them up. Let it simmer for 2 or 3, 4 minutes, not much longer, and put your chicken back in the pan. Cover the and skin side up. Don't pour the sauce over the chicken top. It's going to get flabby anyway, but it looks a little better if you don't, unless you like it that way. And or you can baste it with the sauce, and that's it. And let it cook. Usually the chicken will take, after browning, takes 7 or 8 minutes to brown, another 30 minutes, and it's cooked. And I can make that without smoking up the whole house. And I have to say that when I woke up this morning, I made a list of, apropos of this program, I made a list of chicken thighs, that I haven't gotten but, you know, halfway through one page.
They're amazing what you can do with them. They really are.
So it reminds me of when I was the food editor at the Daily News. We did a you remember, it was like a 38 to 42 page food section every week. It was like a food magazine a week. So I devoted the cover to something going on inside, and one was, it was called You Never Have Too Many Chicken Recipes. So, and then the week after we did You Never Have Too Many Chicken Recipes, Parts 2.
That's right.
Parts, comma, T-O-O. So I'm down to the parts, though. In my old age, I much prefer chicken thighs to a whole, although I do roast a whole chicken. Another day, another show.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck.
Good luck with my stove.
Yeah, good luck with the temperature.
You may hear me yelling and sharing.
Okay.
If they don't come through for me.
All right, Arthur. I'll speak to you next week.
Bye.
Take care. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, also on robinhoodradio.com. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.